How do you beat Peyton Manning and the Colts?
Do you? I don't know. I haven't beat them in some time, so I'm not sure. But we've played them as many people have. You know, you've got to play a pretty close to error-free game, which is hard to do. But they're a very complete football team, and I think in order to beat the Colts as a football team, you have to, you know, all three phases have to complement one another. They're a football team that does exactly that. I know Peyton certainly drives it. You know, he does an outstanding job, but as a football team, they're a good team.
The thought, I mean, we've seen the Broncos go into Indy and have some horror shows defensively, but the thought seems to be that maybe this group might be, at least from a personnel standpoint, you know, best equipped to deal with it. How do you feel, you know, your team is right now as a group playing, you know, to go into a challenge like this?
Well, I think that these last couple of weeks we played better together. There was, a span in there that before, prior to that we didn't do as well. But yeah, I'm just getting into the Colts right now as far as the stuff goes. But it'll be a big challenge. There's no question it'll be a challenge. I think our guys will be up to the challenge and they'll be excited about it. It's always exciting to play good teams, and we've been fortunate to have a schedule which permits us to play a lot of good teams this year. And so we'll see how we fare. You know, it'll be our job to obviously put together a good plan, and hopefully we can execute it.
Mike, give you a couple reasons why this Bronco team might be better equipped than past Broncos team. One is a 3-4, where, you know, it seems like Pittsburgh, San Diego, New England, those are the teams that gave Peyton Manning, about the only teams that have given Peyton Manning fits in the past. And then two, this team's never had a secondary like you have now. And so my question to you is, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know what to say. We got to go play the game, as we all know. So after the fact, we'll be able to say if we can put ourselves in the group of those four or five that you mentioned or not. But right now, it's kind of hard to say. I do like, we like the guys we have. We like our chances. Our guys seem to respond well to our scheme. There's a lot of positives, but same thing can be said about Indianapolis, as you well know. They respond very well to what they do as well. And so, I don't want to sit here and tell you we match. You know, we have to wait and see.
Does that Miami game where they only had the ball 15 minutes and scored 27 points, I mean, is that about as scary as it gets?
I tell you what, I do remember that game. I was watching that game, and Miami did an excellent job of keeping the ball away from them. And boy, every time they got it, they just went down and stuck it in. It's a real, real credit to Peyton and the offense and everything they do. It's like we all know they're explosive, and it'll be our job, like I said, to put together a good plan, and hopefully we go into Indy and play real well. But it will take an effort from the entire football team. You know, you can't, as that game you just pointed out showed. I mean, Miami's offense did an outstanding job of keeping them off the field, but it still wasn't enough to get it done. So, no one phase I don't think beats the Colts. I think they're as good a complementary football team as there is. All three phases play very well together.
Mike, is the key to stifling Peyton pretty much the key to stifling any quarterback, and that's getting pressure on him?
No. I wish it was that easy. Because some guys handle the pressure extremely well, and some guys that are pretty damn good quarterbacks don't handle the pressure quite as well. And some of that's mobility issue. Peyton does handle it well, though. He handles that very well, and he controls, but he does drive the thing as far as the play calling and all that stuff. It's a little, like I said, each one of those quarterbacks is a little different. It'd be nice to clump them all in one, but the excitement is that they are all so different, whether it's Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Peyton or any other good ones, which we've been fortunate to see all of them, but Drew, I guess, thus far. The guy, obviously the guy at San Diego is very good as well.
So when Peyton has had subpar games, what's been most effective against him?
What's effective against him? I think the combination between front and coverage and trying to make him work to earn his pay, so to speak, which is what he said after he got drafted. I'm going to go earn my pay now. So you have to make him earn it, because if he can just walk out there and make it work, then we haven't done a good enough job.
Mike, during the losing streak, we kept hearing from the players on defense, you know, guys maybe freelancing a little too much, getting out of their assignments, trying to compensate, those kinds of things. How have you seen that improve in the last 2 weeks and in a game that you just described as, you know, needing kind of like a perfect, you know, performance. How important is that quality in terms of defending a Colts offense like this?
You mean just playing together?
Yeah, and not, you know, not going outside your responsibilities.
You know, there's a fine line between some of that because, as the ridiculous statement goes, good players do what they're coached and great players overcome it. There's some truth to that. When the play occurs, you know, you've got to, there's a way to stop everything, but you've got to be able to, you know, stop it. But sometimes you've got to go outside. You know, a talented player will overcome a bad situation. And I think that's pretty much what that statement means as far as, you know, what guys can do. But for our guys in the stretch that we didn't do well, look, it was from top to bottom. I mean, we didn't coach as well, we didn't play as well, and for whatever reason, we certainly didn't try not to coach as well or play as well, but that's just what happens. You can win games. Look, we had some mistakes yesterday that obviously you saw a couple times where guys were running free down the field, and, you know, I took a gasp a couple times. Thank God they weren't complete. Where that we busted a coverage or something, and when you're playing well, you know, you don't bust those coverages, you don't give your opponent that opportunity, but at the same time, they didn't become big plays that they could have been. And so it's, you know, I think that's what keeps it exciting. You really never know which way the ball is going to bounce, so to speak. And so whatever reason we lost those games, I think some of the reason is why we've corrected it, but otherwise it's just, look, Indy's going to be a whole new week. It'll be a whole new challenge.
How important was Champ's performance yesterday, kind of taking Chambers out of the game?
Every week it's Champ's performance is key every week. It always is, as is Andre Goodman's. As you saw yesterday, he made some, you know, he was in the right place, right time. We blitzed him about four or five times, and believe me, I'm sure you saw him. He doesn't look like the kind of guy you'd want to bring too often, but just the way things fell, it was his turn, and he did a real nice job with it. So both of our corners need to perform well for us to be good, as does our entire secondary. And as you're well aware, this game against Peyton Manning will be every bit as important as every one we've had as far as secondary goes.
How's Ty Law done since he's been here?
He's done well. You know, he's obviously his experience is what he relies heavily on, but he's done a good job. You know, he has a pretty tight role as far as what that is, but it's hard to find guys to do that role, and it's not really a role that he's totally familiar with because in the past he's always been on the outside, and he's playing a little bit more on the inside right now. So he's doing some things that are new to him, and hopefully he enjoys doing them because they're kind of exciting.
When you do have some older, more veteran guys in your secondary, is it becoming more important to get them the rest? I mean, we saw Brian missed all week of practices but was still able to play. Are we going to see that more maybe through December?
You know, it's really going to be up to, just like you know it to be, and that is if they're healthy enough to practice, they will. If they're banged up and sore and we got to get them healthy, the advantage to an experienced guy is sometimes they don't need as many reps. But even an older guy will tell you he needs reps, because if he doesn't get any, it's hard to, you know, be right on your best when the game comes around.
Going back to Ty and playing kind of a new position for him, what adjustments has he had to make to play that inside slot role?
Well, he's had to pressure and blitz a few times. He's never done that in the past. And he's had to cover slot receivers, which typically come in all shapes and sizes, but in particular they're usually the craftiest of the receivers, and being on the inside, so you see a lot of nifty kind of runners that are in there, the guys that can cut on a dime and do things like that. So it's a little different than the big, tall Randy Moss type of guy that's on the outside. Just a different kind of good. You know, a good example would be New England. Randy Moss is on the outside, Welker's on the inside. So you can see how the challenge would be different.